Section 1.9. Assassination Plot. Caesar was honored by the Roman Senate as Imperus Maximus Docte Sum Romana, or highest of the Roman Imperators. This title stated that he was Praetori et Romanus, meaning High Protector of Rome. This title was later passed under the reign of Augustus. Plutarch records at one point Caesar informed the Senate that his honors were more in need of reduction than augmentation, but withdrew his position so as not to appear ungrateful. He was given the title Pater Patriae, Father of the Fatherland. He was appointed dictator a third time, and then nominated for 9 consecutive 1-year terms as dictator, effectually making him dictator for 10 years. He was also given censorial authority as prefect of morals, praefectus morum, for 3 years. At the onset of 44 BC, the honors heaped upon Caesar continued, and the rift between him and the aristocrats deepened. He had been named dictator perpetuus, making him dictator for the remainder of his life. This title even began to show up on coinage bearing Caesar's likeness, placing him above all others in Rome. Some among the population even began to refer to him as Rex, king. But Caesar refused to accept the title, claiming, Rem publicam sum, I am the Republic. At Caesar's new Temple of Venus, a senatorial delegation went to consult with him, and Caesar refused to stand to honor them upon their arrival. Despite it being believed that Caesar was suffering from diarrhea at the time, a painful symptom of his epilepsy, the senators present were deeply insulted. He attempted to rectify the situation later by exposing his neck to his friends and saying he was ready to offer it to anyone who would deliver a stroke of the sword. This seemed to at least cool the situation, but the damage was done. The seeds of conspiracy were beginning to grow. The fear of Caesar becoming autocrat, thus ending the Roman Republic, grew stronger when someone placed a diadem on the statue of Caesar on the rostra. The tribunes Gaius Epidius Marcellus and Lucius Caesetius Flavius removed the diadem. Not long after the incident with the diadem, the same 2 tribunes had citizens arrested after they called out the title Rex to Caesar as he passed by on the streets of Rome. Now seeing his supporters threatened, Caesar acted harshly. He ordered those arrested to be released, and instead took the tribunes before the Senate and had them stripped of their positions. Caesar had originally used the sanctity of the tribunes as one reason for the start of the civil war, but now revoked their power for his own gain. At the coming festival of the Lupercalia, the biggest test of the Roman people for their willingness to accept Caesar as king was to take place. On the 15th of February, 44 BC, Caesar sat upon his gilded chair on the rostra, wearing his purple robe, red shoes, and a golden laurel, and armed with the title of Dictator Perpetuus. The race around the Pomerium was a tradition of the festival, and Mark Antony ran into the forum and was raised to the rostra by the priests attending the event. Antony produced a diadem and attempted to place it on Caesar's head, saying, "The people offer this, the title of king, to you through me." There was, however, little support from the crowd, and Caesar quickly refused, being sure that the diadem didn't touch his head. The crowd roared with approval, but Antony, undeterred, attempted to place it on Caesar's head again. Still, there was no voice of support from the crowd, and Caesar rose from his chair and refused Antony, saying, "I will not be king of Rome. Jupiter alone is king of the Romans." The crowd wildly endorsed Caesar's actions. All the while, Caesar was still planning a campaign into Dacia and then Parthia. The Parthian campaign stood to bring back considerable wealth to Rome, along with the potential return of the standards that Crassus had lost over 9 years earlier. An ancient legend had told that Parthia could only be conquered by a king, so Caesar was authorized by the Senate to wear a crown anywhere in the empire, save Italy. Caesar planned to leave in April 44 BC, and the secret opposition that was steadily building had to act fast. Made up mostly of men that Caesar had pardoned already, they knew their only chance to rid Rome of Caesar was to prevent him ever leaving for Parthia. Brutus began to conspire against Caesar with his friend and brother-in-law Cassius and other men, calling themselves the Liberatores, liberators. Many plans were discussed by the group, as documented by Nicolaus of Damascus, who said, "The conspirators never met openly, but they assembled a few at a time in each other's homes. There were many discussions and proposals, as might be expected, while they investigated how and where to execute their design. Some suggested that they should make the attempt as he was going along the sacred way, which was one of his favorite walks. Another idea was for it to be done at the elections, during which he had to cross a bridge to appoint the magistrates in the Campus Martius. They should draw lots for some to push him from the bridge, and for others to run up and kill him. A third plan was to wait for a coming gladiatorial show. The advantage of that would be that, because of the show, no suspicion would be aroused if arms were seen prepared for the attempt. But the majority opinion favored killing him while he sat in the Senate, where he would be by himself, since only senators would be admitted, and where the many conspirators could hide their daggers beneath their togas. This plan won the day. 2 days before the assassination of Caesar, Cassius met with the conspirators and told them that, if anyone found out about the plan, they were going to turn their knives on themselves. On the Ides of March, that is, the 15th of March, of 44 BC, a group of senators called Caesar to the forum for the purpose of reading a petition, written by the senators, asking him to hand power back to the Senate. However, the petition was a fake. Mark Antony, having vaguely learned of the plot the night before from a terrified liberatore named Servilius Casca, and fearing the worst, went to head Caesar off at the steps of the forum. However, the group of senators intercepted Caesar just as he was passing the theater of Pompey, and directed him to a room adjoining the east portico. As Caesar began to read the false petition, the aforementioned Casca pulled down Caesar's tunic and made a glancing thrust at the dictator's neck. Caesar turned around quickly and caught Casca by the arm, crying in Latin, "Villain Casca, what do you do?" Casca, frightened, called to his fellow senators in Greek, "Help, brothers!" In Greek, "Adelphoi Boethi." Within moments, the entire group, including Brutus, was striking out at the dictator. Caesar attempted to get away, but blinded by blood, he tripped and fell, the men eventually murdering him as he lay, defenseless, on the lower steps of the portico. According to Eutropius, around 60 or more men participated in the assassination. The dictator's last words are, unfortunately, not known with certainty, and are a contested subject among scholars and historians alike. In Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Caesar's last words are given as, "Et tu, Brute? Then fall Caesar." Meaning, "And you, Brutus? Then fall Caesar." However, this is Shakespeare's invention. Suetonius reports his last words, spoken in Greek, as, "Caesu, technon?" In English, "You too, child?" Plutarch says he said nothing, pulling his toga over his head when he saw Brutus among the conspirators. Regardless, shortly after the assassination, the senators left the building, talking excitedly amongst themselves, and Brutus cried out to his beloved city, "People of Rome, we are once again free." However, this was not the end. The assassination of Caesar sparked a civil war in which Mark Antony, Octavian, later Augustus Caesar, and others fought the Roman Senate for both revenge and power. Section 1.10. Aftermath of Assassination. Caesar's death also marked, ironically, the end of the Roman Republic, for which the assassins had struck him down. The Roman middle and lower classes, with whom Caesar was immensely popular, and had been since Gaul and before, were enraged that a small group of high-browed aristocrats had killed their champion. Antony did not give the speech that Shakespeare penned for him more than 1,600 years later. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. But he did give a dramatic eulogy that appealed to the common people, a reflection of public opinion following Caesar's murder. Antony, who had been drifting apart from Caesar, capitalized on the grief of the Roman mob and threatened to unleash them on the Optimates, perhaps with the intent of taking control of Rome himself. But Caesar had named his grandnephew Gaius Octavian his sole heir, giving him the immensely powerful Caesar name, as well as making him one of the wealthiest citizens in the Republic. Gaius Octavian was also, for all intents and purposes, the son of the great Caesar, and consequently also inherited the loyalty of much of the Roman populace. Octavian, only aged 19 at the time of Caesar's death, proved to be dangerous, and while Antony dealt with Decimus Brutus in the first round of the new civil wars, Octavian consolidated his position. Later, Mark Antony would marry Caesar's lover, Cleopatra. In order to combat Brutus and Cassius, who were massing an army in Greece, Antony needed both the cash from Caesar's war chests and the legitimacy that Caesar's name would provide any action he took against the two. A new triumvirate was formed, the second and final one, with Octavian, Antony, and Caesar's loyal cavalry commander Lepidus as the third member. This second triumvirate deified Caesar as Divus Iulius, and, seeing that Caesar's clemency had resulted in his murder, brought back the horror of proscription, abandoned since Sulla, and proscribed its enemies in large numbers in order to seize even more funds for the second civil war against Brutus and Cassius, whom Antony and Octavian defeated at Philippi. A third civil war then broke out between Octavian on one hand and Antony and Cleopatra on the other. This final civil war, culminating in Antony and Cleopatra's defeat at Actium, resulted in the ascendancy of Octavian, who became the first Roman emperor under the name Caesar Augustus. In 42 BC, Caesar was formally deified as Divus Iulius, the divine Julius, and Caesar Augustus henceforth became Divi Filius, son of a god. Section 2. Caesar's literary works. Caesar was considered during his lifetime to be one of the best orators and authors of prose in Rome. Even Cicero spoke highly of Caesar's rhetoric and style. Among his most famous works were his funeral oration for his paternal aunt Julia and his Anticato, a document written to blacken Cato's reputation in response to Cicero's Cato Memorial. Unfortunately, the majority of his works and speeches have been lost to history. Section 2.1. Memoirs. Caesar's memoirs include the Commentari de Bello Gallico, Commentaries on the Gallic War, about campaigns in Gallia and Britannia during his term as proconsul, and the Commentari de Bello Civili, Commentaries on the Civil War, including events of the Civil War until immediately after Pompey's death in Egypt. Other works historically attributed to Caesar, but whose authorship is doubted, are De Bello Alexandrino, on the Alexandrine War, De Bello Africo, on the African War, and De Bello Hispaniensis, on the Hispanic War. These narratives, apparently simple and direct in style, to the point that Caesar's Commentari, are commonly studied by first and second year Latin students, are highly sophisticated advertisements for his political agenda, most particularly for the middle-brow readership of minor aristocrats in Rome, Italy, and the provinces. Section 2.2. Poetry. Very little of Caesar's poetry survives to this day. One of the poems he is known to have written is The Journey. Section 3. Military Career. Historians place the generalship of Caesar on the level of such military genii as Alexander the Great, Hannibal, Genghis Khan, Napoleon Bonaparte, and Saladin. Although he suffered occasional tactical defeats, such as Battle of Gergovia during the Gallic War and the Battle of Dyrrhachium during the Civil War, Caesar's tactical brilliance was highlighted by such feats as his circumvallation of Alesia during the Gallic War, the rout of Pompey's numerically superior forces at Pharsalus during the Civil War, and the complete destruction of Pharnaces' army at the Battle of Zela. Caesar's successful campaigning in any terrain and under all weather conditions owes much to the strict but fair discipline of his legionaries, whose admiration and devotion to him were proverbial due to his promotion of those of skill over those of nobility. Caesar's infantry and cavalry were first-rate, and he made heavy use of formidable Roman artillery. Additional factors that made him so effective in the field were his army's superlative engineering abilities and the legendary speed with which he maneuvered his troops. Caesar's army sometimes marched as many as 40 miles a day. His army was made of 40,000 infantry and many cavaliers, with some specialized units, such as engineers. He records in his Commentaries on the Gallic Wars that during the siege of one Gallic city built on a very steep and high plateau, his engineers were able to tunnel through solid rock and find the source of the spring that the town was drawing its water supply from, and divert it to the use of the army. The town, cut off from their water supply, capitulated at once. Section 4. Caesar's Name. Using the Latin alphabet as it existed in the day of Caesar, that is, without lowercase letters, the letter J or the letter U, Caesar's name is properly rendered G-A-I-V-S, I-V-L-I-V-S, C-A-E-S-A-R. The form C-A-I-V-S is also attested using the old Roman pronunciation of letter C as G. It is an antique form of the more common G-A-I-V-S. It is often seen abbreviated to C, period, I-V-L-I-V-S, C-A-E-S-A-R. The letter form A-E is a ligature, which is often encountered in Latin inscriptions where it was used to save space, and is nothing more than the letters A-E. In classical Latin, it was pronounced Gaius Iulius Caesar. Note that the first name, like the second, is properly pronounced in three syllables, not two. In the days of the late Roman Republic, many historical writings were done in Greek, a language most educated Romans studied. Young, wealthy Roman boys were often taught by Greek slaves, and sometimes sent to Athens for advanced training, as was Caesar's principal assassin, Brutus. In Greek, during Caesar's time, his family name was written Kappa, Alpha, Iota, Sigma, Alpha, Rho, reflecting its contemporary pronunciation. Thus, his name is pronounced in a similar way to the pronunciation of the German Kaiser. Clearly, this German name was not derived from the Middle Ages ecclesiastical Latin, in which the familiar part Caesar is Caesar, from which the modern English pronunciation, a much softened Caesar, is derived. Section 5. Caesar's Family. The following is a list of members of Caesar's family. Section 5.1. Parents. Father, Gaius Julius Caesar. Mother, Aurelia. Related to the Aurelia Cotta. Section 5.2. Wives. First marriage to Cornelia Cinilia. Second marriage to Pompeia Sulla. Third marriage to Calpurnia Pisonis. Section 5.3. Children. Julia with Cornelia Cinilia, possibly Caesarion with Cleopatra VII, who would become pharaoh with the name Ptolemy Caesar. Adopted son, Gaius Julius Caesar Octavianus, his great-nephew by blood, later known as Augustus. Possibly, but seemingly unlikely, Marcus Junius Brutus, with Servilia Caepionis. Section 5.4. Grandchildren. Grandson from Julian Pompey, dead at several days, unnamed. Section 5.5. Female lovers. Cleopatra the Seventh, Servilia Caepionis, mother of Brutus. Section 5.6. Notable relatives. Gaius Marius, married to his aunt Julia, Lucius Cornelius Sulla, possibly through marriage. Section 5.7. Possible male lovers. Roman society viewed the passive role during sex, regardless of gender, to be a sign of submission or inferiority. Indeed, Suetonius says that in Caesar's Gallic triumph, his soldiers sang that Caesar may have conquered the Gauls, but Nicomedes conquered Caesar. According to Cicero, Bibulus, Gaius Memmius, whose account may be from first-hand knowledge, and others, mainly Caesar's enemies, he had an affair with Nicomedes IV of Bithynia early in his career. The tales were repeated by some Roman politicians as a way to humiliate and degrade him. It is possible that the rumors were spread only as a form of character assassination. Caesar himself, according to Cassius Dio, denied the accusations under oath. Mark Antony charged that Octavian had earned his adoption by Caesar through sexual favors. Suetonius described Antony's accusation of an affair with Octavian as political slander. The boy Octavian was to become the first Roman emperor following Caesar's death. Section 6. Chronology. This section contains a chart which is essentially a summary of the preceding material. Section 7. Honors. Was voted the title Divus, or God, after his death. During his life, he received many honors, including titles such as Pater Patriae, Father of the Fatherland, Pontifex Maximus, Highest Priest, and Dictator. The many titles bestowed upon him by the Senate are sometimes cited as a cause of his assassination, as it seems inappropriate to many contemporaries for a mortal man to be awarded so many honors. As a young man, he was awarded the Corona Civica, civic crown, for valor while fighting in Asia Minor. Perhaps the most significant title he carried was his name from birth, Caesar. This name would be awarded to every Roman emperor, and it became a signal of great power and authority far beyond the bounds of the empire. The title became the German Kaiser and the Slavic Tsar. The last Tsar in nominal power was Simeon II of Bulgaria, whose reign ended in 1946. For 2,000 years after Julius Caesar's assassination, there was at least one head of the state bearing his name. Note, however, that Caesar was an ordinary name of no more importance than other cognomen like Cicero and Brutus. It did not become an imperial title until well after Julius Caesar's death. Section 8. See also. See the following entries for more information. Cultural depictions of Julius Caesar. Nine Worthies. Caesar Cipher. Julio-Claudian Family Tree. Gallic Wars. Roman Republic. Roman Calendar. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.